Welcome to Random Rambles. I'm Taja.
And I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And today we thought we would talk about the Blake Lively drama in every aspect.
Yeah.
It's been everywhere. I can't get away from it.
I don't think anyone, I mean, it's not Taylor Swift Eras Tour where you feel like you cannot not hear about that every day.
Yeah, that was pretty big.
Yeah, but it's up there.
It is definitely up there. Yeah. It's so I've probably stayed a little bit more on top of it than
yes. I got highlights. I feel like I've got like the overarching highlights of this dramaticness that's happening. But yes. Taj has definitely been across it
a lot more. I'm not going to say that I've been across it because you know, but I've definitely read a few things. I watched a video last night from a marketing expert who was talking about how this has basically collapsed a lot of her branding.
Mm.
And Blake Lively's branding for all of her stuff is actually very intrinsically hinged on her good girl, family friendly image. And a lot of what's happened has sort of blown that out of the water and revealed her as more of a mean girl and a clicky it girl than a girl's girl.
So her role in Gossip Girl as Serena Vanderwoodson is her.
Basically.
In real life.
Yeah. And they're calling it main, like that she has a lot of what about me syndrome and main character-esque syndrome sort of stuff. Because So from what I understand, a lot of this drama has started with the promotional tours of her new movie, It Ends With Us.
Yes. Or,
yeah, no, It Ends With Us. Yes, I had to check that because I will completely admit It Ends With Us is a movie adaption of a book by the same name by an author called Colleen Hoover, and I will not read her work.
Yes, I remember. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast.
I don't think so.
I think we've talked about it.
Because I believe what I said was, do you read Colleen Hoover? And you went, no. And I went, good, we can still be friends.
Yeah, I don't think it was on the podcast. I think it was a chat.
I'm not a contemporary romance reader to begin with, and a lot of her stuff is sold that way, but everyone that I've spoken to in regards to her writing and their readers, book clubs, things like that. I have a friend who recently read It Ends With Us as part of her book club. She was horrified by it. She just was not a fan. I find a lot of Colleen Hoover's characters and that are very bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sugarcoat
that. There's no other good word.
There's no good word.
Yeah,
it's not. Her books I find rather problematic, the storylines and that. I do not understand how she is being listed as a romance author when a lot of her themes are around domestic violence and stalking, and that's not romance to me.
Well, when I actually first heard the title, I thought it was a romance.
Yeah.
Just how it sounds.
But even when you have a look at the cover, like the cover work on that book is beautiful, on the one before the movie came out, and it was the beautiful like purple florals and soft diffused lighting.
Yeah.
And it looks like a romance book.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, she's a young woman who's a florist who's routinely being gaslit and beaten by her boyfriend. How is this romance?
This is not romantic.
But that's the big problem in the promotional tours is that Justin Baldoni, who was the director, I believe he was also one of the producers, and he was the one who bought the film rights.
Mm-hmm.
He was promoting it as it really is. This is a movie about domestic violence and a survivor of domestic violence and all of the trauma and, you know, complications in life that go along with that.
Yeah.
Whereas Blake Lively and a lot of the other cast seem to be sort of promoting it as
like a rom-com. Yeah.
She's like, you know, grab your friends, wear your florals and go catch It Ends With Us in movies. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why?
Yeah.
It's a domestic violence story. Why are you promoting it as a rom-com? And there's people that are leaving the cinema traumatized because they're survivors of domestic violence. They were expecting a nice rom-com and they've walked into their own story.
Which I haven't seen any, and I mean, look, I don't want to say that I've seen every single promotional junket thing that they've done, but what I have seen there's been no mention.
No.
And so I was thinking, oh, it'll be a nice story to go see. But I don't want to see see domestic violence.
No.
No thanks.
No. And that's the thing is that it's been the marketing is almost split in half, which is never a good thing to begin with. He's doing marketing on his own, and Blake Lively and the rest of the cast are marketing together, doing this tour together, promo tour. So it's a whole weird situation there to start with. But then it's almost like she's trying to turn it into, you remember earlier this year, end of last year, we had the Barbie Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
They were sort of in competition too, but Oppenheimer didn't try to be anything but it was.
Yeah.
And Barbie didn't try to be anything but what it was.
Yeah.
And she's trying to turn it into a little bit of that Barbie Oppenheimer moment, in my opinion, with Deadpool versus Wolverine. Oh, my little butcher bird's back.
The bird that saved her from this ridiculous spider.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry for the interlude, everyone. I was hanging out the wash early this morning and I got a massive golden orb dropped on me, and I do not handle spiders well.
Uh-uh.
And when I finally stopped panicking and got it off me, the little butcher bird, who has just eaten another spider.
Oh my
God, the patio there.
What a savior. He's all over
it. He ate the golden orb for me. So we like that little butcher bird. But back to the topic at hand. I never find it good when they've split the promotion like that. But she's almost trying to turn it into that sort of moment with her husband's movie, Deadpool vs. Wolverine. And it's not, to me, it's not the same thing. Like, Oppenheimer was what it was.
Yeah.
And Barbie was what it was. And both of them are massive cultural zeitgeists. Oppenheimer, because of his efforts in World War II with the nuclear bombs.
Mm.
World War II, World War I, World War II.
Oh, I don't know.
I believe World War II. Because it was America.
It was closer.
Yeah, I believe it was World War II. But
yeah.
wow. Brain short-circuited. Because of his role in the development of the nuclear bomb and everything that happened around it, and the race to get to it first, as opposed to Nazi Germany and all of that sort of stuff. And Barbie has been a massive part of girls' lives since, what, the 40s, the 50s?
Yeah.
So they're these two massive cultural phenomenons.
Yeah.
And they both had a movie coming out around about the same time, and they were so, so different from each other.
Mm.
And they didn't try to be anything, but they were. They just had very similar release dates.
That's it.
You know, they were a day or a week apart or something.
They're working off the competition of we're a big movie.
Yeah.
Coming. Like, be prepared.
Yeah.
But we're going to have very different audiences.
Yeah. And but at the same time, people were walking out of one of the movies and buying tickets to go into the next movie to see the next one. But they were so different.
Yes.
But the problem that I think she sparked with this is that she's trying to create something that's not there. Because it's just, she's promoting a movie that doesn't exist. Because the way she's promoting the movie is not the movie that it's actually being shown.
What a psycho. You were in the movie. Like, you should know.
You should know what you're talking about here. You literally filmed these scenes. She's talking about also, like, with Barbie, a big thing that Margot Robbie had on the red carpet was that she played off the Barbie outfits. Yes. And she had these beautiful outfits on the red carpet. And
An homage.
Homage to Barbie and to the film.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. She just did... It's Margot Robbie. She did a brilliant job.
Yeah.
But she was playing off of a fun, lovable childhood character that had a brilliant fashion sense. That's always been one of Barbie's calling cards, is that she was always fashionable.
Yeah.
In this, Blake Lively's kind of trying to do the same thing, in that they had the... You know, she had a bit to do with the costume design and that.
And she's got the flowers
She had these custom boots. I can't remember if they're Givenchy or Gucci or whatever, crystal studded boots. She's playing a 20-year-old florist or something in Boston. She's not going to have a lot of money, so where'd she get the custom boots?
And I don't know if she can pull off 20.
I don't. Movie magic.
Movie.
I believe it's called Botox.
It's a bit of a. I couldn't pull off 20. And I mean, it's not. I'm not pulling any other woman down. I'm just.
Yeah, but you also don't have a team of aestheticians.
Oh, true. I do not.
And millions of dollars at your disposal.
And just tape, various forms of tape. Yeah.
It's that under tape where they just string it back.
Oh my god, no. No.
So you have that, you have her trying to do that. There's the whole controversy that's come out with how she can be really quite nasty in interviews if she doesn't want to be there. Like there was that journalist that came forward who was struggling with infertility at the time that Blake had just announced her pregnancy, and I can't remember if it was her first or her second. And the journalist actually, sort of the interviewer, said, you know, congratulations on your little bump. I'm really happy for you. And she was like, oh, congratulations on your bump. And the journalist had been going through all sorts of treatment for her infertility and was desperate for a child and wasn't able to have one. And it was like, wow, that would have been a smack in the face. She was genuinely trying to be like, hey, you've just publicly announced your pregnancy, congratulations, and you just smacked it with a dead fish. Why would you do that?
What a meanie.
But then she was, the thing that has pissed people off, I've noticed online, is that in that, the interviewer asked, I can't remember what she was interviewing her for, but she said, you know, she asked a question related to the costume designs and did you like the costumes that you wore in this movie? And, you know, was it fun? Did you enjoy it? Was there elements that you would change? And she was like, why aren't they asking the guys this? Because they had such wonderful costumes for the guys. And she basically blocked the interviewer and then complained that they were asking her. But then in this new set of promos for the It Ends With Us, she won't shut up about the costumes that she got to wear. And she's like, I had a hand in it. And there's all these beautiful florals. And we wanted to play off of the florals, the fact that she's a florist. And, you know, she wears my custom boots. We raided my closet and all the rest of it. And I'm like, so were you cranky that they're asking you about the costumes because you're a woman? Or were you just being bitchy? Because there's a difference here.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to be asked that, point blank period.
Yeah.
Then that needs to be a stand in every promo to it. Like, don't ask me about costumes. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Everyone wore costumes, not just me, sort of thing. Or were you just, didn't like the fact that you didn't like that interviewer or something. Like, know? And then she's made a point of saying that she's not a drinker. She doesn't drink.
Okay.
Which, you know, you're not a big drinker.
Not a big drinker.
I'm not a big drinker. I do drink. I won't say that I don't drink, but I'm not a massive drinker.
Yeah.
For me, it's very much an occasional thing. Yeah. Like, I will have one in certain circumstances if I enjoy it, if I feel like I'm in a safe environment.
For sure. Yeah.
Generally, you know, I feel weird if I'm drinking on my own. I'm not one of those people who can pour a glass of wine to go with my dinner when I'm at home alone. It just freaks me out.
Yeah, I know.
I feel a little bit sad, so I just, I'm fine.
But you're right. Like, there's a difference between saying I don't drink or I have the odd one.
Yeah.
Because I have the odd one, like yourself. I might have a cocktail, like, if I'm out and it's just
out having a nice night.
Looks nice, you know.
That's an interesting looking drink. I want to try that.
But honestly, I'll forget to order a drink because I drink water so much. So I'll just have water or a juice or a mocktail, actually. They're getting better and better.
Oh, yeah. So, I miss the Mexican restaurant Cactus Jack's because they had the best mocktails.
I forgot about them.
I know. Mm. They had these polenta chips and the best mocktails.
Oh, so good.
So good. Yeah. I had my first drink in public from there.
Oh.
I was out with my father and I had a... It was the Long Island iced tea.
Oh, my God.
So my father had to carry me back to the car.
Okay, that's a huge drink.
Well, I didn't realize. I was like 18 and a half. I was just on the legal limit to drink. And my father was like, yeah, it's fine. It's just the two of us. You know, we're having a late lunch, early dinner. It'll be fine. You can have a drink. I'm driving. It's fine. Neither of us had ever had a Long Island iced tea.
It's like four shots.
I don't even think I finished it.
Something crazy.
Oh, it was so strong. It was ridiculous. Yeah, and the waiter was like, are you sure? And I'm like,
yeah. Why? What could possibly go wrong? Oh, Jesus.
My dad's helping me off the stool, like, are you okay? And I'm like, I feel a little dizzy. And he's like, what was in that? And he, like, sniffed it and went, holy shit.
Like so
we don't drink very often, but yeah. We do have the occasional drink, yeah. And I will admit that I am partial to a nice cocktail.
Yeah.
I do make a specialized liqueur every year for my mother and I around Christmas.
Yeah.
And we enjoy that heartily.
Yes.
But it's occasional.
Yeah.
We do drink, but occasionally.
Yeah.
She's been very clear that she does not drink.
Okay.
And got now it. She's come out with a booze line. Betty Booze and Betty Buzz, and she has partnered with It Ends With Us. Do you know what the strongest contributor to domestic violence is? Mm. Alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who told her this would be a good idea?
Does she not know? Has she never heard
Does she
the
not
words?
Have a team?
Does she, but does she, like, it's like she doesn't know the words domestic violence. Like, does she not know what that is? Or has, like, literally seen any sort of information about it and what it means? Like,
I don't
come
know.
On.
And I don't, like, to me, in my mind, like, a lot of people have said it's just a cash grab. Like, she's just after the money. Because Ryan Reynolds's gin line makes sense.
Sure.
He had that in the works before, I believe, before he met her.
Yeah.
It came out after they sort of got married and that, but he'd already sort of had it in the works. Yeah. He does admit to having a few drinks here and there and all the rest of it. He's not alcoholic. As far as we're aware. But he's never shied away. You've seen photos of him out and about and he's got a drink in his hand. It's not a huge drama.
Yeah.
But the aviation gin for him makes sense.
Yes.
He's I don't know how many times he's promoted it, and he's always got a different drink that he's got on the thing. But for her to come out and say that she does not drink, but she's done the booze line because she makes drinks so often for other people.
Uh-huh.
It still doesn't make sense to me.
But if you're not drinking your own drink, how do you know if it's good?
Exactly. How do you know? Oh, how do you know? I don't understand the whole thought process, and I don't understand why someone in her marketing team or her PR team,
those sound like dummies,
or her media team, oh, someone please,
anybody,
come out and be like, "Hey, Blake,"
or
try wrapping this up with alcohol and your movie, being that it has an element of domestic violence, probably not a good idea.
But what about your husband? Surely you would have like had a little chat about how you're gonna, hey, this is what I'm doing, and this, you know, like, don't you fill each other in on what's coming up and like about your work? So a light bulb moment would go off and go, booze with domestic violence. Ooh.
Yeah, you'd think so, but apparently he, I don't quite know how it came out. She got asked a question on the red carpet, I believe, and she said that Ryan had actually had a hand in writing one of the scenes near the end of the movie, a rooftop scene or something,
uh-huh.
And that nobody knew he'd had anything to do with it because it was during the pandemic when they were still doing like the...
Yeah.
And that little comment on the red carpet could actually have massive impact for Ryan Reynolds because it was during the writer's strike and he is a gilded member. So, and the movie, like, he wouldn't have been allowed to work on it. So her little comment could have major impacts for him because it would be a breach of the strike action.
Yeah.
For that guild.
Oh.
So that's a bit of a problem. And there's the fact that the director of the movie, who owned the rights to the story, didn't know he'd had a hand in it either.
Oh my God.
They'd told no one. And people were like, if this was just like you're sitting in bed talking about what's going on and you're talking about this scene and you're like, oh, I'm not really too sure what to say in this, but, you know, what I'm reading doesn't really feel right.
Yeah.
And he made a throwaway comment of, oh, well, you could try this.
Yeah.
Then that's a bit different to him helping you write the scene, which is what you've said he's done. And him being like, oh, yeah, you know, you could try this, wouldn't have an impact on his guild membership.
No.
But you're saying he's written the scene. Oh, he wrote that for me. It's going to have massive impact. So which one? I mean, you've sort of thrown him in front of a bus that didn't need to exist.
Wow, what a supportive wife.
I know. Wow. I don't think she's thought about that whole scenario. Like, I think she was going for the cutesy, my husband's really supportive moment, which is fine. Everyone knows that the two of them are supportive of each other. They have been the whole way through. But it just was a little bit confusing that you would throw him so deeply into trouble for a cute moment.
I know, it's such a throwaway line too. It like, is. It doesn't really go anywhere, does it?
It doesn't.
It's just a statement.
Yep.
And then
it didn't need to go anywhere, but, you know, we didn't tell anyone about it.
But do you know what? Nothing will probably happen because he's a very, like, high revenue actor.
Yeah, but it's not the Actors Guild that he'll be in trouble with. It's the Writers Guild, and he's not a high revenue writer, as far as I'm aware. So the Guild could very well be like, piss off.
That's true. Sort of just okay, got it.
So I mean, we don't know because we don't have anything to do with those guilds, but
no, true. But yeah, I just wonder with Blake how it's almost like the spotlight needs to be on me now, me.
Yeah, and people have gone back and had a look at a lot of her interviews, right back to the Gossip Girl days where she was in interviews with Leighton Meester.
Oh yeah,
I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Sometimes it's Meester. Just depends how you want to say the I and the E bit.
Yeah, I don't. I'm probably getting it wrong. I'm sorry if it's Meester, Meester.
You're gonna really upset the Gossip Girl fans.
Sorry about that, really, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between.
But
I think I saw half a season. I just
so good. Except for season 5, it got a bit weird, but
all I know is that the girl that played the younger sister
of Little J.
I don't know.
Taylor Momsen?
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
I follow her band, The Pretty Reckless.
Oh, The Pretty Reckless are amazing. Just a good
but I've like one. Never really watched the show.
Yeah, the Pretty Reckless.
I was like, is that the girl from The Grinch?
Yes, correctamundo, it is. Yes.
Like, I need to follow this band.
No, anyone that's interested in good music.
The Pretty Reckless have some amazing songs.
They've got some really good stuff. And just forget that she was in Gossip Girl, really.
Or The Grinch.
Yeah, like, it just, she's Susie Lou Who. So good, and her voice is very good, and the band is amazing. But what I was going to say is, my mum, whenever I was watching Gossip Girl, she'd go, there's that Serena Vanderwaerts noise going, sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Because she just fucked everything up, basically. She's just a meddler and can't not get involved with other people's business. Or she tries sort of hard to help someone, but it ends up she helps herself in the show a lot. So I'm just reflecting on some of the like character choices with Serena, aka Blake.
And it's sounding a bit like they're the same person.
And it sounds very similar to what's going on now. But yes, I don't think Leighton and Blake got on that well.
No, you can see two worlds, you can actually see it in the interview. Worlds.
Yes.
Like there was, I don't know if it was an interview or just like a media panel or a
something.
Yeah, they were sitting on the stage together next to each other.
Okay.
I don't quite know because they sort of blanked out the sound. So I don't know. There was obviously a question asked and Blake has answered and Leighton's kind of given like this pained grim smile like, yeah. And then as she's looked away, her face drops.
Yeah.
And she's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like ugh. The whole, ugh.
Yeah.
God, why do I have to be here pretending to be friendly?
Yeah.
It's like, because you're being paid to, but I have that sometimes.
Yeah.
Over the years of my working life where I'm like, I need to be friendly to this person and professional, but at the same time, what was that dribble that just came out of your mouth?
Yes. So you can't see
everybody
it.
Has that, but that's just a bit more public.
Oh, sure. But even some of the seeing the Perez Hilton stuff. So he was huge when like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie and like all the Lindsay Lohans, Britney stuff. Like he's still quite big, but kind it's like low. He's not as
oh my god, you couldn't get away from him, and now it's like if I want to listen to him, I'd have to go find him, and I'm not gonna do that.
Yes. But he was talking about, just to come up on my Instagram sort of searchy feed, I know, searchy feed. And he was saying big news, dug into some of who's following who and, you know, liking Blake's Instagram stuff. So the only one out of the whole gossip crew, well, I guess it's cast, not crew. We don't know the crew.
Gossip Girl cast. Yeah.
It's Penn Badgley,
mm-hmm.
who was Dan in Gossip Girl. And
that was the love interest, right?
Yes, Dan Humphrey. So Little J, Taylor Momsen's brother in that. And Nate, and I've forgotten his name, but he's also in The Boys now.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who plays the fish guy.
The fish guy. And I've temporarily forgotten his name, his real name.
Yeah.
But he played Nate Archibald in Gossip Girl. So those are the only two out of the whole cast that follow Blake. The rest don't give a damn.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you see shows that finish and then you have a look a few years later at who's still willing to work with who and who's following each other on social media and who is pictured out in public with each other.
Yes.
Because there's another show that I really like, Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. We'll rewatch it to the end of time. Love the characters. It is a brilliant show.
It's on my to-watch list. I've not seen it. I know. She's given me a really horrified face.
Oh, it is so good. So good.
Mind you, they were horrified I didn't see Prison Break either. So.
No, I told you I've only seen like half a season of that. So that was Christy. There you go, Christy. You've now been mentioned in both of them.
But it is, you're right. Like, it's interesting. It's a good
show, but there were all these rumors when it ended. You know, because I think there's only five or six seasons, and there were all these rumors when it ended, and all of the rumors centered on that Nathan Fillion had been bullying Stana. Sorry, I can't pronounce her name properly, I'm sure. But she was
The lead?
The female lead. Yeah, Beckett, okay. Right? And I think about a year or so after that, it sort of came out that the rumors weren't quite true, but there was a lot of tension between them and not of the good kind. They just weren't getting along anymore. They didn't have a lot of respect for each other anymore. But what always interests me is when you have those rumor mill sort of moments, is seeing who stays in contact.
Yeah.
Because the person who's ostracized is normally the one who has caused the most damage.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that's not in contact with anyone from the cast.
Yeah.
He is in contact with all of them.
Yeah, right.
And he's still meets up with them for like Thanksgiving and holidays and just random coffees and things. They shout his out because he does the rookie now.
Yeah.
And they've been in a few of his things since. Like they just pop up in little guest spots and stuff and he's been in theirs. And, you know, you're not going to do that sort of stuff unless you've maintained a friendship. No. And I think that the only time that you don't maintain a friendship in a group like that is if they've sort of said, kind of you're the problem. Because everyone else is getting along really well and nothing's really too drastic and then you come in and it turns into a drama.
Yeah.
So nobody knows quite what happened, but she's the one who's not in contact, from what I can see.
Yeah. And it's quite telling, isn't it? Like, actions generally speak louder than words.
Yep.
And, like, if there's multiple different things and, like, say if they all come on his new show, but she's the only one that doesn't.
Yeah. And if they're all following each other on social media.
Yeah.
She's the only one not being followed or following back.
Yeah, and not at the lunches and not at the
reunions,
whatever it is that they do. Yeah.
Because it's like Molly Caitlin Quinn, who plays his daughter, Alexis, in the show. She's come out and said that she actually developed a bit of a drinking problem while they were filming the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she credits him and a couple of the other members of cast for helping her get clean and sober. And, you know, she's been sober for quite a few years now. She's now engaged. And she's living a really good life and she's got quite a few projects and things that she's working on. And she's, every time I see her on social media, she just gets more and more gorgeous and more effervescent with life. So
yeah.
I'm really glad that she was able to get that. But again, she talks about him.
Yeah.
You never hear anything about her.
Mm.
So it's a little bit, and I can sort of understand why she'd be closer to him because he did play her dad on the show. So there were more scenes between the two of them than between the rest of them. But it's still a bit telling to me because she was the youngest member of cast.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
It's the one that generally needs the most protection on set. And I think they did a really good job with her. When they noticed something was going wrong, they sort of were like, hey, this isn't good for you.
Mm.
How about we get you some help?
Yeah.
And luckily she accepted it and she got clean.
Oh, how good.
But I find it interesting, especially with stuff like that, with what you've said about the Gossip Girl and that they're not really following. It's only, and I wonder if that's really that they're following or just that they're not bothered unfollowing.
Well, that could be a thing.
There's a
too.
Level of that too. I've got a few of them on there that I'm like, I'm not really interested in you anymore, but I just can't bother going in and unfollowing. I just ignore the post.
Well, I feel like Penn Badgley, who's now on You, I think it's just finally wrapped its last season of You.
Yeah.
That's like he's the been...
super psycho stalker one, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. What was I going to say about him? Oh, he just has really clear boundaries. Like, even in interviews, he's got really clear boundaries about, you know, the direction of characters. Won't do sex scenes for all the rest of You anymore. There's no reason to do it for his character. So he put, like,
not doing
hectic
it anymore,
boundaries in, which is really great. Because if you don't, like, if it's just to have a sex scene, to have a sex scene, and it doesn't actually
make sense.
Yeah, or I guess project, you know, doesn't the story push, doesn't, further
doesn't
along.
Doesn't help
like
the plot along, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't, I mean, I don't know any of these people. We don't know any of these people personally. So this is just...
We're in a completely different country to them too, by the way.
Yeah. But it seems like he's really grounded and wouldn't put up with much.
Yeah.
You know, like he's, you know...
He wouldn't be backwards and coming forwards and saying, stop,
yeah,
enough.
That's enough, yeah. So just from what I've seen, it's an observation compared to some of the rest of the cast, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, they're a bit more loosey-goose, or they're not even in the spotlight much anymore, or...
No, well, you don't really hear about Leighton anymore.
No, she married Adam Brody.
Yeah.
And had a family. He's from the OC.
Yeah. I know who he is.
Oh, yeah. For a minute, your face looked like, who? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't remember hearing about that. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
I do you know what's going about on. That. But yeah, it just, maybe some people who play a character are literally actually not playing a character.
Yeah, maybe they play it so well because they're playing themselves, just under a different name.
I mean, I'd hate to think some of the, you know, like if it is like the You, I hope Penn's not exactly like his stalker, murderer.
I don't think so, because he has come out in interviews and said that there's quite a few things about that series that have made him uncomfortable to film.
Yeah.
So I don't think so, but I think that... It's in his case, I hope, that it's more a case of that he's got a really good acting talent and a dedication to what he's doing to make sure he does it properly.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of people are sort of saying that Blake Lively has sort of played that same sort of character so often that it's bled into her real life.
Yeah.
And so she's Serena was a bit of a what about me sort of character.
Yeah.
And then she's played a few other characters that are quite what about me characters.
Yeah. And now, kind of socialite-y as well, you know, like about clothing, about sort of superficial stuff. Like there's no depth.
It's all surface level.
Yeah, to the character of like, you know, I'm into world politics or the economy, you know, like the environment or saving the sharks. I don't know, like whatever it is.
I know that there's that interview that they've got, well, that clip they've got of her and Leighton, where Leighton's like, oh, and then there's one from when she did Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah.
And she was in an interview with America Ferrera.
Yeah.
And sort of, I don't think America really got a chance to talk.
Mm.
And she sort of redirected everything back towards herself. Yeah. So it was, this is supposed to be a cast interview. What are you doing?
And it's an ensemble movie from the outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
Not one person is the star.
Yeah. So it was a bit like, you're supposed to be sharing that spotlight. So they're a bit like, okay, well, she's kind of always been like this. We've just never really pinned it down.
Yeah.
But the other thing that she's gotten herself into strife over is her hair care brand that she has launched off the back of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not going well.
Oh.
Aside from the fact that the packaging is horrendous.
Oh, dear.
And I know that we can't show. We can't share. This is audio only, so I would, you know, I can't.
And probably don't look at it, because if it's as shit as what Tasha's saying, don't get any more clicks to that website.
She's introduced her hair care as Blake Brown by Blake Lively. And then
that's just my question. Why?
Why? But that's the packaging. How clunky does that look? I don't...
It looks like it should be honey, a honey brand or something.
How would you get the honey out of that?
I don't know. But just going from like a hexagonal... I'm just... immediately
if it's together like honeycomb.
Yeah. Honey.
So apparently it's meant to give you iconic hair every day. A system based on Blake's personal routine to give you nourishment and strength for your hair.
Okay.
The reviews are horrendous. But the thing is that when you have a look, this is something that I've always noticed about Blake's hair. She is not the person I would go to for hair advice. Because
no.
I don't know, like, everyone's personal opinion on hair, because everyone has a different hair type and a different want from their hair.
Yeah.
But I like my hair to feel healthy, silky, and well conditioned, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the sort of person who needs to have fucking 80s volume to my hair. I'm fine. I tend to throw it into a ponytail or a bun.
Yeah.
I tend to do a lot of plaiting and stuff, so I do not need it to hold its own volume.
Yeah.
I just want it to be nice and, you know, silky and healthy. But anytime I see a promotional photo with Blake Lively in it, and I look at her hair, silky and healthy is not what comes to mind.
It looks dirty.
It looks like straw.
Yes, and dirty.
To me, it's just, it looks very, very damaged to
Why
me.
Why is it Blake Brown? What's that about?
Because I think that's the full name. I think Brown is like her like actual legal last name.
Oh.
And Blake Lively is her trade name.
I see.
But like, when you look at promotional photos, most hairstyles, so like, if we want to do the whole like everyone's saying that she wanted the Barbie Oppenheimer thing for It Ends With Us and Deadpool Wolverine,
yeah,
when you see Margot Robbie's hair, it was always perfection.
Yeah, I know,
right? Silky, in place, pinned down, whatever it was she was doing, there were no flyaways.
No,
it looked soft and silky
and healthy
and healthy, very healthy.
Yes.
Blake Lively's hair always looks damaged. It always looks strawy.
Yeah.
And there's so many flyaways. Like, I get a few flyaways, but that's because it's always in a ponytail and doesn't know what to do with the regrow.
Yeah.
But she's got so many flyaways, so many... To me, the amount of frizz that she has, the amount of people she has to care for it...
Yeah.
...dictates that there's a lot of damage.
Mm.
Like, to me, it's like, okay, there's either heat damage or chemical damage.
Yeah.
There is something there, which probably means there's a lot of split ends. And there's, there's a lot of people that are just like, I tried it because, you know, I like Blake Lively, and they're like, don't use this. Don't use this. It's horrendous.
I mean, I'm going to assume that's not, you know, overly, you know, it's not, where, like, some of the shampoos and conditioners you can get now that are sulfate-free and... You know, some of the chemicals that they used to put in stuff, I feel like if it's a Target brand or in Target shops.
It is in Target, yes.
Yeah. Majority of them don't tend to go down the, you know, sort of vegan-friendly nicety stuff. Like, it's more hectic chemicals.
Well, here's the funniest thing is that the line does not carry conditioner. There's no conditioner in her hair care line.
Well,
because according to Blake Lively,
you don't need
she
it?
Doesn't use conditioner, and neither does anybody else in Hollywood.
What? That's a big statement.
That is a huge statement.
No one does this. Okay.
And all I can think to myself is, you can pry my conditioner from my cold dead hands. I love my conditioner. Like, I have a whole routine in the shower, and I shampoo my hair is the first part of my routine, and the third part of my routine is the conditioner so that I can wrap my hair up and pin it, and it can sit in the conditioner for a couple of minutes before I unwrap it and rinse it.
Yes.
Because my hair is thick, and it has two different types because I have very Celtic hair, thank you, Father. So I get all these little knots at the back if it's not properly conditioned.
Yeah.
Because I get these little curly bits right at the nape of my neck.
Yes.
That I don't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
So when I've got it, like, in a low pony or something,
yeah.
they tangle. And it's so painful.
Yeah.
So I have to have conditioner. So I don't care what Hollywood does. You're not taking my conditioner.
I don't think all of Hollywood is doing that.
I can't imagine it.
It just, unless it's some sort of weird fad where everyone's like, oh no, leave your hair unwashed for like 2 weeks or something. It's so good for your hair. Like, yeah, like people go through that stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't done that, but there's fads with hair all the time.
I know. And there's that whole thing where there's like, I understand that there's a lot of girls that are like, I wash my hair once a week.
Yeah.
Because that's what works for my hair.
That's all right.
I cannot do. I can't even fathom it.
It actually itches my head if I leave it longer than 3 days.
And I can't even get that long.
3 days.
I wash my hair every night.
Oh my god!
Do you know how much hair I have?
I do.
There's so much of it, and it's so thick. But I can't leave it. I will admit, I have attempted it because if I don't have to wash my hair so much, I would save so much money.
Oh, I can imagine. That's a lot.
But it doesn't work. I have an oily skin type. I have fibro, which means that I break out into random sweats sometimes.
Yeah.
And one of the first places I sweat is my face and my scalp.
Yeah.
And so my hair is just gross. If I, for some reason, don't wash my hair, so say tonight if I don't wash my hair.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm going to wake up with a grease bomb on my head. it's feral. I don't like it. Yeah. I won't do it. Unless I am like sick, and can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
My hair is washed every night.
Yeah, well.
Every
night. Oh my gosh.
I put it in a microfiber towel. I do not hair dry it. Because that just means I get a grease bomb anyway. Because then I'm sweating from the hair dryer.
Well, for anyone that doesn't obviously know what we look like, Taj's hair, where is your hair down to? On your back?
Crap.
Like,
I don't freaking know anymore.
Is it?
It's growing back because okay. I did give it a little bit of
it. It is very thick. Like her, if she braids her hair, it's a very thick braid.
I have hair ties that were actually made for
oh Jesus. Like,
I think it's meant to be like the really curly, like almost afro style curls.
Oh wow!
To hold them into like a ponytail and that. I use those because
Taj's hair is probably
just starting to get to my below my mid back, but just towards my lower back. So it's right above my hip line,
right
at the bottom of my waist, right above my hip line.
Yeah, okay. Mine is probably just below
the beginning of your shoulder blades.
Yeah, that would probably it's getting there. I have thick hair. Like when you grab it, it's thick, but it's actually thin. The actual hair itself is considered quite thin hair, so I have to go and get like a keratin treatment every now and again to get it, so because otherwise it would just be a fluff flyaways bomb of a head. There's just
I do not have that problem.
No control of it whatsoever.
I remember when my mum went through her breast cancer journey and everyone was going to shave their heads in the family, including me. She lost her mind. She was like, no, someone in this family needs hair. I was like, okay. And she's like, you are not cutting all of that gorgeous hair off. You're not doing it. It's not happening. Yeah. I was like, okay. So instead, I went and got my hair cut really short, like jawline short. I had never had my hair that short at all, ever, in my life. And so it was a huge change for me. But I remember the hairstylist saying to me, with the length of your hair, it is going to frizz up because it is used to having all that weight dragging it down. It never did.
Wowee, that's
good. My hair strand is quite thick.
Yeah.
Some of them are quite elastic. It's weird. Since the time. It's because I've got so many different freaking... I do believe it's actually called Celtic hair where you have like weird patches of curl and not curl. And it's, but it's... Some of the curlier hair strands are almost like a
oh, wow. What kind of person weird. Are you? Some sort of superhuman,
a
super
weird
being.
A mutant. but it cut and it just stayed in the cut. I'd never had any issues with it. It didn't frizz up. It didn't need
That's
to be straightened.
Though.
It just stayed where it was supposed to stay.
I guess, too, it's about climate because if I go back to New Zealand... And the water there is just amazing. So you can't have a shower anywhere like New Zealand. Their water is just amazing.
Glacier water.
I guess so. I don't know. But when I wash my hair in Australia, we're in a humid, humid, hot.
But you're also in state. Queensland. And don't forget that Queensland has some of the hardest water in Australia.
Yes.
It has really hard water.
It does.
And we use it on everything. It's why there is no shower screen in Queensland that does not have some form of calcification.
Yes, because yes, we use very, yeah. So I do think there's climate evolved and that depending on what water it is and everything like that, because in New Zealand, my hair behaves itself. It's, I would consider if I don't get the keratin stuff done to it, it's wavy and can curl up into like ringlets to the, that point if I get really hot. So yeah. But if I go to New Zealand, it just sits like I've straightened it. You know, wash it, blow dry it, and it's fine.
See, I because of how weird my hair is with all the different things, I do follow a level of curly girl method style.
Yeah.
And I can get really nice waves and the occasional really loose ringlet.
Yeah.
Specifically my, like, my fringe area.
Oh, yeah.
My, I will often wake up and have, like, full-bone barrel curls and be like,
really soon.
What? Where did that come from?
I didn't even try for this.
I didn't. I literally slept the night away. I did nothing to my hair. There it is. It was in its little thing all night. And woohoo! But I will never go out of my way to damage my hair by trying a celebrity product. Like,
no.
I remember when I was a kid, preteen, we found a product that worked really well on my hair.
Yeah.
Didn't need to use a shit ton of it.
That's good.
My hair didn't start falling out, didn't get an itchy scalp, didn't have any of those problems. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared off the shelves.
Oh.
Couldn't fucking find it anywhere.
Wow.
I think it was only about 7 years ago that it randomly came back. So I don't know if the company went out or if it changed the packaging enough that I couldn't recognize it or if it changed its name or whatever had happened, but I could not find it for years. And now it's back. Mm. It has changed its name twice since then.
Oh my God.
It's changed its packaging. I don't want to know how many times. But I still the formula it. Has not changed.
Okay.
And that is all that matters to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is animal cruelty free.
That's good.
It is paraben and sulfates free.
Yeah, that's good.
And it is one of the only shampoo and conditioners that work without leaving me with so many freaking problems.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it was Pantene made my hair fall out.
Oh, Pantene's not good.
We were just trying anything because we couldn't get the ones that I had been using. So we were just trying anything.
Yeah.
And Pantene, herbal essences, everything. None of them work.
It's got silicon in that. No one wants silicon in their shampoo.
Not particularly.
I mean, I plug up a hole with silicon, you know, in a window.
And do the caulking.
Yeah.
To do the sealing.
Yeah, but not put it in my hair and on my scalp. That's no good.
No, not really.
I mean, speaking of scalps, what a segue.
Are we talking about the Eureka Stockade?
New. So I decided, I want to say it was last week, I went to, okay, it's going to be a quick story.
Okay.
It's all good. I decided to go speed dating last week, and oh, what an interesting experience that was.
Okay, and now here's the follow-up question. What the fuck does that have to do with scalps?
Ah, very good question.
Now I'm scared.
If it appeases the court. No, it's fine. It's more of a funny thing. So you get 10 minutes with 8 dates, you know, on the night. So
10 minutes per date?
Per date.
Too long.
Some it was. yes, correct. Not to say that it wasn't just a good story for later on. Like, it was
speed dating normally is, but you don't normally walk away with many.
Let's just say we'll all be friends. We won't. That's
I hope they're not listening.
Wouldn't that be funny? So I got to one of the dates, and before all I said was, "Hello, I'm Amy." He goes, I'm just going to stop you. I just need to let you know a couple of things. And I thought,
oh, fuck.
This has already gone a little bit pear-shaped. And I haven't said one line. He said, now, I'm a tradie, and I've been up since 6, and I got back to the coast at 5:30. I haven't had a shower. I put found clothes in the back of my ute and popped them on. I don't know how long they've been in there, and I'm not even sure if they're washed.
You were really prepared for this, weren't you, buddy?
So prepared. I was like,
Were you dead to be here?
Did you know that you'd book this? Did you book this? Like, it's
what did your mother?
It's like an actual whole thing to book it. Like, you don't just go click, like, and pay. You gotta, anyway. So they said, if you see, you know, because he had sort of floppy hair, like that sort of messy, oh, I don't know.
2010s emo cool.
Yeah, kind of like shaking your fringe like every 5 seconds, you know.
The Zac Efron.
Zac Efron, hair. Like Harry Styles, you know, all that sort of
early era. 2010s.
Yes, like any dude that had that style, basically. He said, so if you just see anything moving in my hair, just let me know. And it's like,
I'm so, do you have a biome up there?
What the fuck sort of statement is that? I said, what do you mean moving? Like, do you have bugs in your hair?
Do you mean nits or cockroaches?
I was like, where do you work? It was like, you're a tradie, but like,
what trade?
What kind of trade? He's like, oh, just see? And like all this dust and just shards of like, you know, wood. And
oh, like, so like a carpenter.
So, yes, like hopefully, chimney, hopefully. You know, kind of cabinet maker sort of thing. I was like, plumes of dust. He said, I really tried to go to 2 hairdressers to get my hair washed and cut for this, but they're all closing and they wouldn't let me. So this is me. So he's in a holy shit shirt. Like it had holes and rips in it.
He would have been better off showing up in his uniform.
I think he should have. Like at least you're like, oh, well,
you're a tradie and you come from work. Great.
Yeah, got it. Board shorts.
So his version of making himself more presentable actually made him far less presentable.
Far less presentable.
Oh my God.
So here's me. I've gone to the effort. I've put on a nice dress. I put on a low heel, not a crazy heel, because it is.
You don't like crazy heels anyway.
No. Did my hair, did my makeup, got a matching clutch, you know, did the thing.
Went way out of where I would go.
And then turn up to, and all these men have done little to like no effort and basically just rolled up there and whatever.
Welcome to the world of dating.
Not one man had a button-down shirt on. And I don't ask for, like, long sleeves. It's Queensland. It's Queensland.
When was this?
This was 2 weeks ago.
So it was cold and they could have had a long sleeve button-up.
They could have had a long sleeve button-up.
And just, like, we're not asking for 1940s freaking Cillian Murphy from Peaky Blinders.
No.
We're just asking for a nice pair of pants, a decent shirt.
That's it.
And maybe a jacket if you're feeling a bit fancy.
Yeah.
Just let me have a good impression.
Best foot forward. So I can't even imagine if I even said, let's go to the theatre. What are you going to turn up in?
Justin Bieber and Hailey at the birthday party.
Oh my gosh.
He's in the grey sweatsuit and she's wearing that really nice
red number. Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting. I've got other stories, but we do need to wrap it up.
Yes, Amy has a prior appointment that she must go to, and we're running over time.
I must. But yes, that's my weird scalp story from speed dating.
That is horrifying. And people wonder why I don't date. I was at the gym the other day, and it was hilarious because a bunch of tradies came in, and I mean, they must have come straight from work. But normally when they come in, they'll go and change. But this time, no, they went straight to the workout floor. They were still in full high-vis and steel cap boots, and they just went straight to the workout floor. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
Okay. What, you got no time to change? Just want to start
working? I honestly think he was there between jobs.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a whole nother obsession.
My mother has started calling me a gym junkie, and my activity level has gone from sedentary to very active. I go to Pilates 5 days a week.
Hey.
So,
yes. Good. That's amazing.
There's our good news for the day. My part of my health journey and getting everything under control. I started Pilates. I did work up to the 5 days a week. I didn't just start.
I was going
to
say. Oh, my God.
it's been a couple of months now, but I am 10 kilos down officially as good. Of this week. So, yeah. And we're just going to keep that rolling.
Yeah, amazing.
So, yay.
Thanks for listening, guys.
That is all we have time for, quite literally, today. So we're sorry about the break between episodes. Things have been pretty hectic in our lives. But we will be having another few episodes soon. Yeah. And we are looking at a different way to record to try and make sure that we don't have so many breaks. But yes, we will see you all probably early October.
Yes.
So enjoy this one, and we will catch you on the flip side.
And probably keep following the Blake Lively drama, that is, if you want to follow it.
Yeah, well, that's not going away anymore. she just keeps adding to that file.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Hiding in the shadows of a world so mean, a forgotten soul, living in a world so cold. A silent scream from a story untold. In the quiet of the night, you're walking through the shadows of a world forgotten. Where you belong.